ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय.
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4, द क्रिएशन ऑफ द फोर्थ ऑर्डर, चैप्टर 26. किंग परंजन गोज टू द फॉरेस्ट टू हंट एंड हिज क्वीन बिकम्स एंग्री. पार्ट 3, परपोर्ट, 2 वर्सेस 1-8. The first 3 verses of this chapter explain how the material body of the living entity is under the control of the 3 qualities of the external energy. The body itself is the chariot, and the living entity is the owner of the body, as explained in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, Dehi Nosmin Yapa Dehe. The owner of the body is called Dehi and is situated within this body, specifically within the heart. The living entity is driven by one chariot driver. The chariot itself is made of 3 gunas, the 3 qualities of material nature, as confirmed in chapter 18 by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The word yantra means carriage. The body is given by material nature, and the driver of that body is Paramatma, the Supersoul. The living entity is seated within the chariot. This is the actual position. The living entity is always being influenced by the 3 qualities, sattva, goodness, rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This is also confirmed in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, Tarbhir Gunamayayar Bhavai. The living entity is bewildered by the 3 qualities of material nature. These 3 qualities are described herein as 3 flags. By a flag, one can come to know who the owner of the chariot is. Similarly, by the influence of the 3 qualities of material nature, one can easily know the direction in which the chariot is moving. In other words, one who has eyes to see can understand how the body is being driven, influenced by the particular type of quality of material nature. In the first verses of this chapter, the activity of the living entity is described to prove how the body becomes influenced by the quality of ignorance, even when a person wants to be religious. Narada Muni wanted to prove to King Prachina Barhishat that the king himself was being influenced by tamoguna, the quality of ignorance, even though the king was supposed to be very religious. According to Karma Kandiya, the process of fruitive activities, a person performs various sacrifices directed by the Vedas, and in all those sacrifices, animal killing or experimenting on the life of animals to test the power of Vedic mantras is enjoined. Animal killing is certainly conducted under the influence of the mode of ignorance. So, even though one may be religiously inclined, animal sacrifice is recommended in the Shastras, not only in the Vedas, but even in the modern scriptures of other religious sects. These animal sacrifices are recommended in the name of religion. But actually, animal sacrifice is meant for persons in the mode of ignorance. When such people kill animals, they can at least do so in the name of religion. However, when the religious system is transcendental, like the Vaishnava religion, there is no place for animal sacrifice. Such a transcendental religious system is recommended by Krishna in chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, Krishna, for I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear, do not worry, do not hesitate. Because King Prachina Barhishat was engaged in performing various sacrifices in which animals were killed, Narada Muni pointed out that such sacrifices are influenced by the mode of ignorance. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, from the second verse, it is said, Projita Kaitavotra. All kinds of religious systems that are involved in cheating are completely kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Dharma, the religion dealing with one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, animal sacrifice is not recommended. However, in the performance of Sankirtana Yajna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is no recommendation for animal sacrifices. In these three opening verses, King Paranjana's going to the forest to kill animals is symbolic of the living entities being driven by the mode of ignorance and thus engaging in different activities for sense gratification. The material body itself indicates that the living entity is already influenced by the three modes of material nature, and that he or she is driven to enjoy material resources. When the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, its infection becomes very acute. When it is influenced by the mode of passion, the infection is at the symptomatic stage. However, when the body is influenced by the mode of goodness, the materialistic infection becomes purified. The ritualistic ceremonies recommended in religious systems are certainly on the platform of goodness. But because within this material world, even the mode of goodness is sometimes polluted by the other qualities, namely passion and ignorance, so a man in goodness is sometimes driven by the influence of ignorance. It is herein described that King Paranjana once went to the forest to kill animals. This means that Paranjana, the living entity, came under the influence of the mode of ignorance. The forest in which King Paranjana engaged in hunting was named Pancha Prastha. The word Pancha means five, and this indicates the objects of the five senses. The body has five working senses, namely the hands, legs, tongue, rectum, and genitals. And by taking full advantage of these working senses, the body enjoys material life. The chariot is driven by five horses, which represent the five sense organs, namely the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. These sense organs are very easily attracted by the sense objects. Consequently, the horses are described as moving swiftly. On the chariot King Paranjana kept two explosive weapons, which may be compared to ahankar, false ego. This false ego is typified by two attitudes. Ahanta, I am this body. Mamata, everything in my bodily relationships belongs to me. The two wheels of the chariot may be compared to the two moving facilities, namely, sinful life and religious life. The chariot is decorated with three flags, which represent the three modes of material nature. The five kinds of obstacles or uneven roads represent the five kinds of air passing within the body. These airs are known as prana, apana, udana, samana, and dhyana. The body itself is covered by seven coverings, namely skin, muscle, fat, blood, marrow, bone, and semen. The living entity is covered by three material subtle elements and five gross material elements. These are actually obstacles placed before the living entity on the path of liberation from material bondage. The word rashmi, rope, indicates the mind. The word nida is also significant, for nida indicates the nest where a bird takes rest. In this case, nida is the heart, where the living entity is situated. The living entity sits in one place only. The causes of bondage are two, namely lamentation and illusion. In material existence, the living entity simply hankers to get something one can never get. Therefore, one is an illusion. As a result of being in this illusory situation, the living entity is always lamenting. Thus, lamentation and illusion are described herein as dvikubara, the two posts of bondage. The living entity carries out various desires through five different processes, which indicate the working of the five executive or working senses. The golden ornaments and dress indicate that the living entity is influenced by the quality of rajoguna, passion. One who has a good deal of money or riches is especially driven by the mode of passion. Being influenced by the mode of passion, one desires so many things for enjoyment within this material world. The 11 commanders represent the 10 senses and the mind. The mind is always making plans along with the 10 commanders to enjoy this material world. The forest named Panchaprastha, where the king went to hunt, is the forest of the five sense objects, form, taste, sound, smell, and touch. Thus, in these three verses, Narada Muni describes the position of the material body and the engagement of the living entity within it. One form of hunting is known as woman hunting. A conditioned soul is never satisfied with one wife. Those whose senses are very much uncontrolled especially try to hunt for many women. King Paranjana's abandoning the company of his religiously married wife is representative of the conditioned soul's attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. Wherever a king goes, he is supposed to be accompanied by his queen. But when the king or the conditioned soul becomes greatly overpowered by the desire for sense gratification, One does not care for religious principles. Instead, with great pride, Paranjana accepts the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. Our consciousness is always working in two ways, either the right way or the wrong way. When one becomes too proud of one's position, being influenced by the mode of passion, one gives up the right path and accepts the wrong one. Kshatriya kings are sometimes advised to go to the forest to hunt ferocious animals just to learn how to kill. But such forays are never meant for sense gratification. Killing animals just to eat their flesh is forbidden for human beings. When a man becomes too proud of his material position, he tries to enjoy his senses in an unrestricted way, being influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Thus, he is described as asuric or demoniac. When people are demoniac in spirit, they are not merciful toward the poor animals. Consequently, they maintain various animal slaughterhouses. This is technically called suna or hinsa, which means the killing of living beings. In Kali Yuga, due to the increase of the modes of passion and ignorance, almost all men are asuric or demoniac. Therefore, they are very much fond of eating flesh. And for this end, they maintain various kinds of animal slaughterhouses. In this age of Kali, the propensity for mercy is almost nil. Consequently, there is always fighting and wars between men and nations. Men do not understand that because they unrestrictedly kill so many animals, they also must be slaughtered like animals in big wars. This is very much evident in the Western countries. In the West, slaughterhouses are maintained without restriction, and therefore, every fifth or tenth year, there is a big war in which countless people are slaughtered even more cruelly than the animals. Sometimes during war, soldiers keep their enemies in concentration camps and kill them in very cruel ways. These are all reactions brought about by unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouse and by hunters in the forest. Proud, demoniac persons do not know the laws of nature or the laws of God. Consequently, they unrestrictedly kill poor animals, not caring for them at all. So in the Krishna consciousness movement, animal killing is completely prohibited. One is not accepted as a bona fide student in this movement unless he or she promises to follow the four regulative principles. No animal killing, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. This Krishna consciousness movement is the only means by which the sinful activities of men in this Kali Yuga can be counteracted. The question may be raised why a living being should be restricted in sense gratification. If a king, to learn how to kill, may go to the forest and kill animals, why then should a living entity who has been given senses not be allowed unrestricted sense gratification? So at the present moment, this argument is put forward even by so-called swamis and yogis who publicly say that because we have senses, then we must satisfy them by sense gratification. These foolish swamis and yogis, however, do not know the injunctions of the Shastras. Indeed, sometimes these rascals come out to defy the Shastras. Why, they even publicly announce that there should be no more Shastras, no more books. Just come to me, and I shall touch you, and you will become immediately spiritually advanced. That is what these rascals say. Because demoniac people want to be cheated, so many cheaters are present to cheat them. At the present moment, in this age of Kali Yuga, the entire human society has become an assembly of cheaters and cheated. For this reason, the Vedic scriptures have given us the proper directions for sense gratification. For everyone is inclined in this age of Kali to eat meat and fish, drink liquor, and indulge in sex life. But, according to the Vedic injunctions, sex is allowed only in marriage. Meat eating is allowed only when the animal is killed and offered before the goddess Kali. And intoxication is allowed only in a restricted way. The word niyamyate indicates that all these things, namely animal killing, intoxication, and sex, should be regulated. Regulations are meant for human beings, not for animals. The traffic regulations on the street, telling people to keep to the right or to the left, are meant for human beings, not for animals. If an animal violates such a law, it is never punished. But a human being is punished. The Vedas are not meant for the animals, but for the understanding of human society. A person who indiscriminately violates the rules and regulations given by the Vedas is liable to be punished. One should therefore not enjoy his or her senses according to one's lusty desires, but rather one should restrict oneself according to the regulative principles given in the Vedas. If a king is allowed to hunt in the forest, it is not for his sense gratification. We cannot simply experiment in the art of killing. If a king, being afraid to meet rogues and thieves, kills poor animals and eats their flesh comfortably at home, the king must lose his position. So because in this age of Kali, kings have such demoniac propensities, monarchy is abolished by the laws of nature in every country. People have become so degraded in this age of Kali that on the one hand they restrict polygamy, and on the other hand they hunt for women in so many ways. Many business concerns publicly advertise that topless girls are available in this club or in that shop. Thus, women have become instruments of sense enjoyment in modern society. However, the Vedas enjoin that if a man has the propensity to enjoy more than one wife, as is sometimes the propensity for men in the higher social orders, such as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, and even sometimes Shudras, then one is allowed to marry more than one wife. Marriage means taking complete charge of a woman and living peacefully without debauchery. At the present moment, however, debauchery is unrestricted. Nonetheless, society makes a law that one should not marry more than one wife. This is typical of a demoniac society. Just as a government may issue trade licenses in order for its citizens to act in a certain way, the Vedas contain injunctions that restrain and regulate all of our fruitive activities. All living entities have come into this material world to enjoy themselves. Consequently, the Vedas are given to regulate sense enjoyment. One who enjoys the senses under the Vedic regulative principles does not become entangled in the actions and reactions of his or her activities. As stated by Krishna in Chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, Yagyarthat Karmanaha, one should act only for the performance of yajna, sacrifice, which means to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Anyatra loko yang karma bandhana. Otherwise, any action will produce a reaction by which the living entity will be bound. The human being is especially meant to attain liberation from the bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease. One is therefore directed by the Vedic regulative principles to work in such a way that he or she may fulfill one's desires for sense gratification and at the same time gradually become freed from material bondage. Action according to such principles is called knowledge. Indeed, the very word Veda means knowledge. The words jnanena na sa lipyate indicate that by following the Vedic principles, one does not become involved in the actions and reactions of one's fruitive activities. Everyone is therefore advised to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions and not act irresponsibly. When a person within a state acts according to the laws and licenses of the government, he or she does not become involved in criminal activities. However, man-made laws are always defective because they are made by men who are prone to committing mistakes, prone to being illusioned, prone to cheating, and having imperfect senses. The Vedic instructions are different because they do not have these four defects. Vedic instructions are not subject to mistakes. The knowledge of the Vedas is knowledge received directly from God, and there is consequently no question of illusion, cheating, mistakes, or imperfect senses. All Vedic knowledge is perfect because it is received directly from God through the parampara, disciplic succession. In the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. The original creature of this universe, known as the Adikavi, or Lord Brahma, was instructed by Krishna through the heart. And after receiving these Vedic instructions from Lord Krishna himself, Brahmaji distributed the knowledge by the parampara system to Narada, and Narada in turn distributed the knowledge to Vyasadeva. In this way, Vedic knowledge is perfect. And if we act according to Vedic knowledge, then there is no question of being involved in sinful activities. There are many important words in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first is anyatha, otherwise, which indicates one who does not care for the Vedic rules and regulations. The rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas are called Shastra Vidhi. Bhagavad Gita clearly states that one who does not accept Shastra Vidhi or the rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, and acts whimsically or puffed up with false pride, never attains perfection in this life, nor does one attain happiness or liberation from the material condition. Ya shastra vidhim utsvijya vartate kama karata na sa siddhim avapnoti na sukhang na parang gatim. One who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his or her own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Thus are the words of Sri Krishna in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Finally, one who is deliberately transgressing the rules and regulations of the Shastras is simply involving him or herself more and more in material existence within the three modes of material nature. Human society should therefore follow the Vedic principles of life, which are summarized in Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, life and material existence will only continue. Recorded November 17, 2023 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.
Om Tat Sat. Everything we know, because you are so kind, you came to relieve us of all distress and purify our minds. So many troubles you had to face to bring us love of God. Your kindness overwhelmed us all. We could feel it wasn't a fraud. Words are hard to find to repay you. Seems impossible, but you freed us from that bind. So many troubles you had to face. Of God, and your kindness overwhelmed us all. just knew it wasn't a fraud. Please let me repay. Tough.